சத் சங்கிரஹாய பவ பாந்த நிஜாஶ்ரமாப்தா அந்தே பரிஷ்டகதயே ஹரயே நமஸ்தே. ஹம்சாய தஹ்ர நிலயாய நிரீக்ஷகாய சத் சங்கிரஹாய பவ பாந்த நிஜாஶ்ரமாப்தா அந்தே பரிஷ்டகதயே ஹரயே நமஸ்தே. In some places there are not the long A's, the short A's are there. Okay, word to word translation. Hamsaya, unto the most exalted and pure. Pavitram paramam, the supreme pure. Dahra, in the core of the heart. Nilayaya, whose abode. Nirikshakaya, supervising the activities of the individual soul. Krishnaya, unto the super soul, who is a partial manifestation of Krishna. Mrishtayashase, whose reputation is very bright. Niruprakamaya, who has no beginning. Satsangrahaya, understood only by pure devotees. Bhava Pantha Nija Ashrama Aptau, being obtained of the shelter of Krishna for persons within this material world. Ante, at the ultimate end. Parishtagataye, unto him who is the ultimate goal, the highest success of life. Haraye, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Purport. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna, for although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskratam, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees, and therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desire of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the Supreme Person and above even Vishnu and Narayana, although there is no difference between these different forms of the Lord. As explained in Brahma Samhita 5:46, Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhyupetya Deepayate vivrita hetu samana dharma यस्ताद्रग एव हि च विष्णुतया विभाति गोविंदमादि पुरुषं तमहं भजामि. Krishna expands himself as Vishnu, the way a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word Mrishta Yasase is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotee from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and whose only source of relief is the Lord is known as Akinchana. As expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti, the Lord is Akinchana Vitta, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from the bondage of conditioned life are elevated to the spiritual world where they achieve five kinds of liberation: Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Sarshti and Samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna. As described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow, Adi Rasa, is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This purport to me appears to be like an executive summary, if you will, of the different principles given in Nectar of Devotion. So we'll try to unpack it a little bit. First, he says that Krishna appears in his Vasudeva form. So in one day of Brahma, it is described that Krishna appears many, many times in different forms, such as Narasimha, Vamana, etc. In fact, Vamanadev's appearance is today, no? Vamana Dvadashi. Today is Ekadashi. Tomorrow is Vamana's appearance day. So we are fasting till noon for tomorrow's festival today. Because there's a little technicality. Today is Ekadashi. And tomorrow is Dvadashi. And on Dvadashi, you're supposed to break fast with grains. But tomorrow is also the appearance of Vamana Dev. So you're supposed to fast till noon. What to do? Our tendency is to break the fast. So the sages have given us a method by which we can observe the festival. So for tomorrow, we fast today till noon on Ekadashi. And tomorrow, we break the Ekadashi fast. And still we have honored the appearance of Vamana. Okay, so that's the, I guess, etiquette or method. So in one day of Brahma, from an earthly calculation, there are 4,320,000,000 years. That's a 12-hour part of Lord Brahma's day. And the night is of equal length. So another 4,320,000,000 years together It's 8,640,000,000 years. That's 1 24-hour period of Lord Brahma. That's a lot. And this 4,320,000,000 is calculated as 1,000 times 4,320,000 years. Okay? Because 1,000 times 4 million is 4 billion. This 4,320,000 years, yes, is the four yugas combined. Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. You add another 432,000 years, you get Treta Yuga, or actually Dwapara in this particular section of ours. You add another 432,000 years, you get technically Dwapara, but in our case, Treta. And you add another 432,000 years, you get Satya Yuga. Okay? So the order is Satya, Dwapara, Treta, and Kali. Only in this particular one where we are stuck, it is Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. It's mixed or it's interchanged. So in one day of Brahma, this period of time gets interchanged. The order gets changed. Because it's in that order when it gets changed is when Krishna appears. So he appears once in 1,000 yugas as Vasudeva, where he is, his function is paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam. He gives his association to the devotees and he removes or lightens the burden on earth by removing the unwanted personalities. But only once in the entire 1,000 cycles does he appear as Vrindavan Krishna. Although he appears as Vasudeva, he fully manifests his Vrindavan pastimes, his most intimate exchanges with his most intimate devotees once in the 1,000 cycles of Lord Brahma's day. From earthly calculations point of view. So that time when he appears as Vrindavan Krishna is considered to be the most fantastic and heightened expression of Krishna's affection for the personalities on the earth planet. And it just happens to be this particular cycle that we are in. When we hear Prabhupada referring 5,000 years ago or so, that's when Krishna appeared manifesting his Vrindavan pastimes. This is very, very special. And it is only when he manifests his Vrindavan pastimes does Lord Chaitanya also appear. So we are very, in that way, even more special that we are part of that time period. At least we are aware of it. I'm sure we were there in the previous yugas as well, just a little spaced out. We must have been born in Satyuga, definitely. Must have been spaced out. Then we were born in Treta Yuga, definitely spaced out. We were born again. Then we must be born in Dwapara and still spaced out. When Krishna was performing his pastimes, we must be somewhere in some planet, either as polar bears or the grizzlies or the monkeys or something. So we missed out on Krishna's pastimes. Or pigeons or whatever. Right? Roaches, pigeons, mice, some fancy animals. We must be famous because we may have appeared in the National Geographic, but that's about it. And then Krishna, and this Lord Chaitanya manifested his pastimes. We're here in this very fortunate condition, having received, as Vaisheshika Prabhu was saying, perhaps even only a mustard seed of mercy from Lord Chaitanya and his followers. Emona durmati samsara bhitore bhuliya ashinu ache. That I am durmati means I am wicked minded. Wicked minded means, like we were discussing yesterday, mudha, और नराधम और माया प्रहृत ज्ञान और आसुरम भाव एनीथिंग यू नो दुर्मति आर माइंड इज मेस्ड अप एंड भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर सेज बिकॉज वी आर दुर्मति वी आर विकेड माइंडेड आवर माइंड्स आर टू इन्वॉल्व्ड इन थिंग्स अदर देन आवर ओन स्पिरिचुअल सेल्फ इंटरेस्ट So when Krishna appears as Vrindavan Krishna, it's very special. He gives the world a little peek into how his private life looks like. You know, very mundane parallel, if you will. Very mundane. So let's not compare Krishna with that, but just to get a sense of things. When we see, let's say there are these famous personalities in the world, either movie stars or great politicians or whoever, they're very famous in the world. And we like, and suppose they are our role models. Whenever their pictures are published or there's something about them, we read them. We look at those pictures, we look at all the details of how they lived their life, etc. Right? Those are official photographs. But even more valuable than the official photographs are the private photographs. Because in those private photographs, you know that there's no formality. You see them in a very casual manner with their relatives or friends, etc. And you get a little peek into, wow, how they lived their lives. True? Similarly, the official photographs are Vasudeva Krishna. And the private photographs are Krishna and Vrindavan. We see how he interacts with his devotees. And it's coming up, the different kinds of devotees. Then, Prabhupada makes a distinction between Lord Vishnu and Krishna. And he says that although Lord Krishna and Vishnu are non-different, yet Krishna is the original source of all the expansions of Vishnu. And so this verse from Brahma Samhita, Deeparchireva hi dashantaram abhyupetya. So it's plain that if you take a candle, and with that candle you light many similar candles, then all these candles have the same luminosity. They have the same power. Yet there is an original candle by which all the other candles came into being. Or the original candle from whom all the other candles receive their illumination. You can't tell the difference between this candle and that candle, but yet there is an original candle. Similarly, there is no difference between Vishnu and Krishna, or Narasingadev, Lord Rama, Varaha, Vamana, there is no difference. They're all the same personality manifested for a particular purpose each time. They possess the same potencies, except those potencies are not fully manifest. For example, let's take the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Rama is non-different from Krishna. Yet, Lord Rama did not fully exhibit the full potency of Krishna's conjugal nature, because he was always with one wife. And there many proposals came to Lord Rama, please marry one more. And he said, no, one. Because he was manifesting as the ideal husband. In fact, he was even proposed to by Ravana's sister, Shurpanaka. You know that pastime? You want to hear? A little stories would be nice. Of course, it's purifying also. When Lord Rama, Lakshmana and Sita were in the forest in a place called Panchavati, along the banks of the Narmada River, or Godavari River, sorry. Godavari? Yes, Godavari River. One day, a very, 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 very beautiful woman approached their little hermitage. And she looked at Lord Rama and she was very attracted to him. So she came up to him and said, "I don't know who you are, but you're so attractive that you're disturbing my mind. And I would like to offer myself to you as a wife. Please accept me." So Lord Rama said, "No, no, thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm already married. And although as a Kshatriya, I can take another wife, I have dedicated myself to having only one wife. So I'm sorry." So just for having a little fun, he said, "You know my brother Lakshman? You can marry him if you like. He's living alone in the forest. He has no company. Maybe you can approach him." So she went to Lakshmana. And Lakshmana is also equally powerful, very good looking, strong Kshatriya arms, you know, broad chest, all that, wonderful qualities. So she approached him. "Will you please accept me as a wife?" And Lakshmana said, "See, I can, but with me life will be no fun. Because I'm the servant of Lord Rama. And if you marry me, you'll also become servant of Rama and Sita. But if you marry Rama, you'll be the queen. So, you know, no fun here." So she went back to Lord Rama. "I think I want to be a queen. Can you please marry me?" Lord Rama said, "I can't. I actually promised. But try to convince my brother." So she went back to Lakshman. And Lakshmana said, "I told you, you will be living like a maid servant, scrubbing the floors, washing the dishes, washing their clothes, you know, going and picking berries and roots for Lord Rama. And Sita and Rama will enjoy nicely eating whatever you have done. Rather, you should be with Lord Rama so that you can also enjoy at the same level." She said, "Oh yeah, very good idea." So like this, they sent her back and forth, just messing around with her a little bit. And she got very upset. She got upset at Lord Ramachandra that the only reason I cannot get married to you is because of this Sita in between. Correct? I will devour this Sita. I will eat her up. Then you won't have any wife. I'll be the only wife. And suddenly she transformed into this hideous looking demoness. You know, sharp cannon teeth and pointed ears and copper red eyes and, you know, and she was about to pounce on Sita Devi. So Lord Ramachandra looked at Lakshmana and with his eyes and gestured. So Lakshman immediately took out his dagger and chopped off her nose and ears. And so she went home crying. Ah! She went all the way to Lanka to complain to Ravana. So actually that place where her nose is cut, because in Sanskrit nose means is called Nasika. That place is called Nasik. It is there even today. Of course, unfortunately it's one of the biggest Sai Baba hubs, but that is the place where Lakshmana had cut off Shurpanaka's nose across the Godavari River. So she went to complain to Ravana and she wanted Ravana to avenge the insult. So she told him, "You know, Sita is very beautiful. In fact, she's so beautiful that even the heavenly damsels that you're always running after, they're nothing compared to her. They may be like a speck of dust compared to her beauty." The reason she said it, because Ravana was super lusty. And she knew that Ravana will go after Sita and make Lord Rama's life miserable. So that's how the Ramayana unfolds from there. But Lord Ramachandra did not manifest his conjugal potency fully. But Lord Krishna, during autumn, it's coming up, during the autumn full moon night, had rasa dance with one billion gopis. And with each gopi, he had manifested himself between each two gopis, a pair of gopis, such that they thought that Krishna is only dancing with me. 1 billion. This, can't even imagine what that means. But that is his potency. So there's no difference between Lord Rama and Krishna. He said Krishna manifests all his potencies to their fullest once in 1,000 cycles of time, calculated from an earthly context in the day of Brahma. To make things easier, Prabhupada sometimes mentioned that the difference between Krishna and Vishnu is that when Krishna goes to work, goes to the office, he is Vishnu. Because in the office, there's formality. The person at our workplace, when we are at our workplace, we don't manifest our conjugal nature. Of course, we're not Krishna. I'm just giving a very stupid, mundane parallel. But we don't act the way we act at home at work. Right? At work, we are formal. The clothes we wear, formal. The conversations we have, the kind of work we do, we're all formal. At home, we may be in our sweats, t-shirt, on the couch, relaxed. It's a different thing. So formal, Vishnu means where everything is very formal. There's no difference, but that's formality. Then, a very nice phrase here is Mrishta Yashase. Yasha, we sing in this Guru Vandana song every morning. Ebe Jash Ghushuk Tribhuvana. Although we say Ebe Jash, because in Bengali sometimes Ya is pronounced as Ja, like in Spanish. J is pronounced as Ya. So Yasha means fame or glory. So we sing to the spiritual master, your glory is sung throughout the three worlds. Tribhuvana means the three worlds. The earthly realm, the heavenly realm, and the hellish realm. So Yasha means fame. What is Krishna famous for? Mrishta. Mrishta means one who relieves from distress or danger. Krishna is famous for relieving his devotees from danger. Examples? Prahlad Maharaj. Another example? Dhruva Maharaj. What danger was Dhruva in? Gajendra was in danger. Arjuna. Ambarish Maharaj. Krishna always, always, always relieves his devotees from danger. Even the great demigods cannot do that sometimes. Prabhupada often, when he talks about this quality of Krishna, he quotes this example that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Somehow today is all Ramayana, that's nice. And when Lord Rama and Lord Rama and Ravana were fighting, and Ravana was being beaten up like anything by Lord Ramachandra, Parvati Devi asked Lord Shiva, why don't you go and help your devotee? And Lord Shiva said, in this case, I cannot do anything. He's fighting with Lord Rama. I cannot do anything. So Lord Shiva was unable to deliver his follower, Ravana, from danger. But there is no devotee of Krishna where Krishna said, sorry, your saving you didn't show up on my calendar, I forgot. Or Garuda was a little slow today, you know, lot of traffic, I couldn't make it on time. It's not like that. There is no devotee who's never been saved from danger. You know the story of Banasura? Yes, there was a demon by the name Banasura. Banasura was the grandson of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And Banasura was very, very powerful. He had 1,000 arms. And his arms were so strong that he was literally unparalleled in the universe. There was no one as strong as him. One time Lord Shiva was performing his Tandava dance. This is the dance that Lord Shiva does at the time of cosmic annihilation. And that dance is very complicated. So there, someone needs to play beats to keep in rhythm. And it's very fast. And so Banasura with his 1,000 arms had played musical instruments for Lord Shiva. And he did it perfectly well. So Lord Shiva was very happy. And he gave him a benediction. I will always support you. And he said, ask for any benediction. And then Lord Shiva and he became very close associates. Of course, Lord Shiva is his Lord. And Banasura one day became so arrogant that the very person who gave him blessings, Lord Shiva, he approached him and said, I wonder how it would be to have a fight with you. Because I want to know if there is anyone as strong as I in this universe. So he challenged his own master. What happens at such times when we challenge our own masters? Finished. Lord Shiva became very upset at his arrogance. And instead of immediately finishing him up or finishing him off, Lord Shiva said, you rascal, one day your pride will be broken by Vasudeva. He said, oh, I'm waiting for that day when I will have a fight with Vasudev. He didn't hear the part that your pride will be broken. He just thought, oh, I can fight Vasudev. It doesn't matter, anyone. And so when Krishna and Banasura, they came face to face, he challenged Krishna. And Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra that went zip and cut off all his arms, except two arms, and broke all his weapons. And he was, wow. But Krishna had promised Bali Maharaj that he will never kill anyone from his lineage. So Krishna did not kill Banasura. Now before that, when Krishna was on the battlefield with Banasura, Lord Shiva intervened. Very interesting. And Lord Shiva, who is one of the most exalted devotees of Krishna, had a face-off with Krishna and they fought. There's a beautiful pastime in Krishna book. So they fought with each other. Lord Shiva sent a special weapon. Krishna countered it with another weapon. He sent the Brahmastra. He countered it with a Brahmastra. He sent the water weapon that floods everything. Krishna sent the fire weapon that evaporated all that water. Then this weapon, that weapon. Finally, all of Lord Shiva's weapons were conquered. And Lord Shiva came in front of Krishna to say, I am sorry. But I have given mercy to Banasura. Fellow is a rascal number one. But can you please spare him? So Krishna said, I will not kill Banasura. Of course, Banasura dies later differently. But Krishna did not kill Banasura. So Lord Shiva, great personality as he is did not save Banasura from danger. But Krishna is called Mrishta Yashase, always saves his devotee from danger, including ourselves. We may not be fully surrendered to Krishna, but to whatever degree we are surrendered, to that degree Krishna relieves us from danger. How do we know? Anyone relieved from danger? In our case, we are relieved from the danger in this way that we don't even know that the danger was removed. We don't know. So many times, the way we drive, this and that, we would have been in severe accidents. Somehow we are saved, no? The kinds of things we do, we wonder, how are we even alive? Yet Krishna saves us. And all sorts of dangers, physical dangers, mental dangers, emotional dangers, spiritual dangers. Somehow when we commit offenses or we're about to commit offenses, somehow or the other Krishna will intervene to help us. And even if we commit a danger, he helps us come out of it. He gives us a path to come out of it. Physical dangers, the devotees, so many stories of devotees saved from physical dangers. So many stories, so many. If I narrate stories, we'll be here all day. Lord Narsingadev in Mayapur, there are beautiful stories of him reaching out to his devotees. This is an older story. There was one little girl in, I think it is Yugoslavia, but I could be wrong. Of course, Yugoslavia is not there anymore. It's become two different countries. But this little girl, she was about 7 or 10 years old, super bhaktin of Narsingadev in Mayapur. And she would always chant Narsingadev's names, always talk about Narsingadev. And one day she was playing on the street when a truck, she didn't see a runaway truck, and the truck hit her. Imagine a little frail girl hit by a big truck. And her body was flying in the air and like, Narsingadev! She called out. And all her family members came running to see how she was doing. She was on the ground and she had no bruises on her body. Absolutely, not a bruise, except marks here and here. And they all wondered how you have only these marks, but hit by a truck, there are absolutely no bruises. And she said, Narsingadev came to protect me. And as I was flying in the air, he held me with his sharp nails. You see four here and four here. Those were the only marks on her body. Or, you know, different. So many pastimes are there about Krishna protecting devotees. I narrated this recently, Tamahara Prabhu's story. You remember? You want to hear again? It's a beautiful story about Narsingadev. So Tamahara Prabhu, as a young devotee, was distributing Back to Godhead magazines at an intersection in Washington, D.C., 1970-something. And after a whole day of distributing Back to Godhead magazines, he had collected about $30 in his pocket. So it was about sunset, and one man came and he said, hey, do you guys accept donations? I said, yeah, we do. He said, I don't have money, but I have donations in the form of sweaters and, you know, socks and scarves and all. He said, yeah, the devotees can use, sure. He said, my car's parked in the lot. Come with me and I'll give it to you. So as innocent as he was, he walked with the person. He opened the trunk of his car and pulled out a gun. And point blank range, and told him, empty your pockets and give me all the money. I've been noticing that you've been collecting a lot of money. And Tamahara Prabhu instantly said that he called out Narsingadev's name and started calling out, Namaste Narsingaya, Namaste, like that, in our prayers this morning. And the guy was, who are you? What are you doing? And somehow within his heart, this Tamahara Prabhu's heart, he had this inspiration that he should preach to this guy. Imagine being held at gunpoint. And he said, why are you doing this? You know, this is the law of karma. If you do harm me and kill me, you'll also be born again where you'll have to be killed. Started preaching to him. And the guy said, be quiet. And he pulled the trigger. And because he was calling out Narsingadev's name, he pulled the trigger. The bullet did not come out. So he pulled the trigger again. The bullet did not come out. And suddenly a friend came in another car screeching and said, hey, jump in. So this guy jumped into that car and went away. Oh yeah, forget one detail. When he pulled the trigger and the bullet did not come, it's like, what's wrong with the gun? I had loaded it earlier in the afternoon. It's a fully loaded gun. The bullet did not come out. Like that. Or I'm sure you know many, many, many stories of Lord's protection in different ways. The devotees were always protected. There's one story, I forget where, but the devotees would have to walk from the center or temple to a bank. And they would carry the money box to go to deposit at the bank. And they were afraid because, you know, if you walk on the street with money box, it attracts attention. So this devotee would have the money box in his left hand and his hand in his bead bag with one finger sticking out in his right hand. And the persons who were thieves, they would not approach the devotee because they thought he was carrying a gun or something dangerous in his right hand. They didn't know what it was. So they never approached him, etc. And then protection in different ways. I'm talking more modern. In the scriptures, there are full of examples of protection. Lord Krishna protecting Arjuna, the Pandavas on many, many, many occasions, etc. But he's famous for protecting the devotees from danger. Because the devotees have no other shelter other than Krishna. They are called akinchana. Kinchana means something. And akinchana means nothing. Akinchana. They don't have even that something. All that they have is Krishna. And all they do rely on, depend on is Krishna. Then, Prabhupada talks about the akinchana vitta, the personalities whose only possession, their wealth, is Krishna. And these are liberated persons, and Krishna gives, Prabhupada writes that there are five kinds of liberation. First is Sayujya. Sayujya, although is liberation, is not something that the devotees aspire for or even get. Sayujya is merging into the existence of Krishna. It's the impersonal kind of liberation. One merges into Brahma Jyoti. So Sayujya is primarily given even to the demon, given to the demons. Why demons get Sayujya liberation? Do you know? Why demons get liberation in the first place? Because they are remembering Krishna all the time. Very ardent, intense meditation on Krishna. What's the difference between a demon's meditation on Krishna and a devotee's meditation on Krishna? That's not loving. According to the language of Nectar of Devotion, the demon's meditation on Krishna is not favorable for devotional service. It's unfavorable. Pratikula. And the devotee's meditation on Krishna is called anukul, favorable for Krishna. So because they're so constantly thinking of Krishna, they also get liberation, but they get the Sayujya type, impersonal liberation. Then there is Salokya. Sa-alokya. In Sanskrit, where you put sa in the first as a prefix, it means with. Kama, sa-kama, with desires. When you put a as a prefix, it means the opposite of a-kama, without any desires. So sa-alokya. Salokya means on the same planet as Krishna or any Vaikuntha planet. Sarupya means with the same form or a similar form as Krishna's. Recently we read, remember, that six personalities showed up and they all looked beautifully dressed, just the way Lord Krishna is dressed. There was only one difference in Lord Narayana, that he has Shri Vatsa mark and the Kaustubha jewel on his, around his neck. So Sarupya, their forms are very much like Lord Narayana. Then Sarshti. Sarshti means having the same opulence as Krishna. They live in the same grand opulence as Lord Narayana lives in Vaikuntha. And samipya, samipya means closeness. They become very close associates of the Lord. And they move around with him as he goes here and there. And he says that they personally associate with the Lord in five mellows. Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. In English, Prabhupada translates them as Shanta, as neutrality. In Dasya, as servitude. Sakhya, as friendship. Vatsalya, as parental. And Madhurya, as conjugal. And Prabhupada writes, these rasas are all emanations from Krishna. Because Krishna is called Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Murti means the form or fountainhead. Akhila Rasa Amrita. He is the fountainhead of or source of all these varieties of relationships. And it is that reason that Krishna can interact with anyone and everyone in different rasas or humors or mellows of relationships. The Prabhupada is quoted 5. In Nectar of Devotion, he gives 12. 5 primary and 7 secondary. The secondary ones are like fear, anger, ghastly, humorous, etc. So these 5 primarily are ones in which how or by which the devotees relate to Krishna. Shanta in neutrality. So in neutrality, one gets a sense of the greatness. They have a sense of severe appreciation for Krishna. And they offer service to Krishna in neutrality. So it's described like the throne of Krishna. The cows in Vrindavan, etc. It's described that they are in Shantarasa. Dasya is where Shanta develops into active servitude. In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada gives the word Kinkara. Kinkara means a servant who's always asking, how may I serve you? And so the embodiment of that is Hanuman, the servant of Lord Ramachandra, always ready to serve Lord Rama. In Sakya, there is friendship. You'll notice that as we go this order, there is more and more intimacy. The intimacy between friends is different than the intimacy between master and servant. Correct? Because Arjuna, the way he interacts with Krishna is different. They joke with each other. They share food from the same plate. They sit on the same seat. Or the friends of Krishna, they'll put their arm around Krishna. They'll slap his back, etc. This is friendship, sakya. Then next more deeper form of intimacy is vatsalya, parental. Where Mother Yashoda can bind Krishna. She can chastise him. And even more intimate is madhurya, conjugal pastime, or conjugal relationship with the Radharani and the gopis. We can talk a lot more of these, but we'll leave it this way. As described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow, Adirasa, is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. This is an important statement to know, because the conjugal interactions look very much like mundane, Prabhupada says, mundane love affairs between a young man and a young woman. These are not mundane love affairs. This is spiritual because Krishna is interacting with his energies. And these energies are his internal, his own energies. What we see outside in the mundane realm is not internal energies. This is lust, a mode of passion, very active. Because this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, things here look very similar to things or activities there. But the activities here are fully perverted on the reflecting surface of material desire. So we cannot say, oh, Krishna did rasa dance with many women, so can I. No. We're not eligible. We don't even know what it means. And if we want to dance with many women, then we're also supposed to lift the Govardhan hill for at least one day. Forget 7 days. One day. Forget one day. 10 minutes. We can't even lift the Govardhan. We can't even lift a can of oil that Himanshu is going to bring now. I think it's 5 gallons. We can carry it from the van to the cooler or the storage room. But to carry it for the whole day, cannot. To what to speak of carrying it on the pinky? That's impossible. But Krishna was Giridhara. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. If you have to be Gopi Janavallabha, you have to be Giri Varadhari. So we cannot carry anything. Sometimes we can't even carry our own dhoti properly. It falls off. True. We have had experience. Anyone had the experience of dhoti falling off? I've had. I was dancing in Kirtan and the next thing I know is, whew, I'm dancing without the dhoti. So, you know, we can't compare. The point is we can't compare. Krishna's rasas are original and supremely spiritual. Important to know, just in case we forget it. So that's the purport. Any comments, questions? Raktak Prabhu? Is Shama Sundar form more original than Krishna form? There's no difference between Shama Sundara and Krishna. Shama Sundara is a name given to Krishna, or Krishna is known by the name according to his quality. Sundara means beautiful or handsome, and Shama means dark. So Krishna is handsome because he's very dark. He's very exquisite beauty. That's what it means, Shama Sundara. But there is Krishna. Or it's like asking, is Nandanandana more attractive than Krishna? The same person. Krishna has names, 2 categories of names. One is called primary and the other is secondary. Secondary names are according to his prowess, according to his godhood, such as the Almighty. Right? We say, oh, Krishna is the Almighty. Or God is omnipresent. Or God is omniscient. Etc. Those are secondary names, indirect. And the primary names are according to his name, according to his form, his qualities, his activities, his relationships. Therefore, he is called Radha Krishna. All the names are Radha something, right? Radha Govinda, Radha Damodar, Radha Shama Sundara, in association with Radharani. Or Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, in association with his parental devotees, or as friends, Arjuna Sakha, as a friend of Arjuna, like that.
So is Shama Sundar form, is it the most original form?
Shama Sundar Krishna is the most original form, correct. It's the most intimate form of God.
When I was in India, I saw, you know, you see in a lot of the temples, you see the Shama Sundar form.
Well, he's called Shama Sundar because the form is dark.
Yes.
Well, he is also Shama Sundar here. Mm-hmm. We call him Kishore. Because he is in the form of his youthful exuberance.
Thank you.
If you go to Dallas or Houston, you see Krishna a little different. If you notice, in Houston, he's called Neelamadhava. Neelamadhava means the dark-complexioned husband of goddess of fortune. But if you see him, He has a different form. His head is bigger and the body is smaller. So it's described, that's the form of a child, younger. But if you see Kishore, he's very youthful, you can tell, right? You can tell, Kishore, you're youthful, they're not like children. But if you go to Dallas or Houston, you'll see them, they look younger. Anyone else? Jitendra Prabhu?
You were talking about that little girl that got hit by the truck.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Mohini got hit by the car?
No.
In front of the temple on a Sunday feast. About
Tell me what happened.
Maybe 10 years or more. She was real little. And the lady that hit her, she went way up and then she fell down, but she wasn't really. Of course, Karina Nitti knows the story better.
Oh.
And Mohini knows it, you know. But it was pretty amazing.
There are many stories of devotees like that. I know one story where there's devotees who live in Chicago. They were driving to Gitanagari, and they were all in the car, and the mom was driving, and I think the children in the back seat wanted some prasadam or something, and while she was driving, she handed the bowl of prasadam, and for a moment, either the attention moved or something, and the next thing you know, the car is flipping off the highway, tumbling and flipping. And all on the inside, everyone was like, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And they come out without a scratch on their body. The car is total like anything, but they don't have a scratch on their body. Nothing. They just walk out.
Yeah, that happened to me once too. Well, I don't know. I wasn't Krishna conscious at the time. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that happened that the car was totaled and everybody else was okay.
Yeah. And we shouldn't think that, just a little philosophical point, that suppose something does happen and there is an accident and there is some breaking of bones or sometimes even loss of life, we shouldn't think that Krishna is not protected. We shouldn't always think of Krishna's mercy in a very stereotyped manner, that he's like Superman and brings us out of the car and we're always unscathed. No, Krishna, when he feels this is the right way to protect, he protects in this way. When he feels that enough in this body, next service, he can take us out of the body and give us a fantastic service. So he always protects our Krishna consciousness. That's more important to know. So let's not have a stereotypical idea that, oh, always the body is preserved. Not necessary.
I was thinking of Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
I was also thinking. Like there's one devotee in our congregation who is just beginning to practice Krishna consciousness, and he was in a car accident, severe car accident. His left hand, right leg, everything was broken. He had to have 8 or 9 surgeries. And guess what? Not one internal organ got beat. Nothing happened. It was his car, the gas pedal was stuck at 80 miles an hour. It got stuck. So the car was zooming through the streets of Skokie at about 80 miles an hour. And he didn't know how to stop it. And he was screeching. And he thought, okay, there's another car on the street. I'll ram it into the car so that, you know, the impact is softened. But when he was getting close to the car, he saw that there were some children in the car. So imagine his presence of mind. He swerved the car and went to hit a tree. You hit a tree, it's brutal, almost fatal. His car was completely pulverized. His hand and leg broke like anything, but not one internal organ got affected because he was Krishna, Krishna, and I don't want to hit the children. And that severe heightened state of emergency, he's thinking, I don't want to hit children. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. He goes and hits a tree. And he comes here now every Sunday. Huh? Yeah, he's a scientist, yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's getting better. Yes.
I was wondering about the particular Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that comes in this yuga cycle. What, there's a particular difference between the other Chaitanya Mahaprabhus?
Yeah, he's described that in other yugas he appears as what's called Gaura Narayana. Gaura Narayana. And in this particular cycle where Dwapara and Treta are interchanged, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of a particular mood, that not only does he give the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, he opens up love for Krishna in Vrindavan. He gives access to love of Godhead. He does the Yuga Dharma, he gives the mantra.
The other forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu don't give love in the mood of Vrindavan.
I don't know more than this, that's how I've heard. So this one is very particularly special.
Can you share any more pastimes of Nrisingadev in Mayapur?
Nrisingadev in Mayapur, sure. Do you have a question? Not when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. When the yuga changed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. I don't know, but there's a particular there's a sign that in the seventh Manu's 28th yuga cycle, there is this interchange between Dwapara and Treta. And that's when Lord Rama appears, Lord Krishna appears, Lord Chaitanya appears. Of course, Lord Rama appears in other Treta Yugas also. Sometimes it is described by Jiva Goswami that the Ramayana we read about is Lord Rama in a previous Treta Yuga, not this Treta Yuga. So, sometimes we hear like that. Roadshow is going on, but I don't know that in every... It's not necessary that every universe has 71 yuga cycles of one Manu. Only 14 Manus have to appear. Time is within this universe. In another universe, time can be different. The length and breadth of Lord Brahma's day could be different. Because Lord Brahma himself is different. Here we have Chaturmukha Brahma, four-headed Brahma. In some other universe, 10,000-headed Brahma. Who knows? Universes are bigger. One pastime of Lord Narasingadev in Mayapur, and we'll stop with that. It's already 8:40. There was one Mataji, Russian Mataji, who used to serve Narasingadev every day. She would bring something for his service. I forget what it was. And she kept praying to him, please give me your mercy. Please give me your mercy. So one night, she had this very vivid dream. The Lord Narasingadev, she was lying down, Lord Narasingadev came and sat next to her. And in his hand, there was some black stuff, you know, like tar, things hanging and sticky and like yucky. He said, I pulled it out of your heart. What do you want me to do? She said, oh, please get rid of it. And then he said to her, you do my service every day. He removed all the dirty, yucky things from her heart. And she had a very vivid dream. There is another pastime, the famous one, that one brahmachari was serving Lord Narasingadev. And one night he finished all the services, cleaned up the altar area, everything, closed the door, and went to take rest. So he was lying down, and in the middle of the night, on his bed, he felt like there was someone else also, a little moving and a little restless. So when he turned around, it was Narasingadev. I said, oh, imagine Narasingadev in your bed sitting next to you and being restless. So I said, Narasingadev, oh. He said, you're comfortably sleeping, but you didn't turn off the light in the room. So the brahmachari got up, quickly showered, ran back, opened the door, turned off the light and went to bed. So Narasingadev likes service. He's also very intimate. Now the interesting thing is, when we went for Mayapur Yatra, we heard that if you see Narasingadev in Mayapur, he is this Ugra form. Ugra means the instant is, if you actually observe carefully the deity, the pillar is breaking. Right behind him, you see the pillar. The pillar is breaking, and Narsingadev is just about to jump out of that pillar. So his, if you look at his feet, he's on his toes, and his hands are ready. All the weapons are in high alert, about to jump and pounce on Hiranyakashipu and tear him apart. But because he is in Mayapur, it is described that although he has that fierce form, he takes on the mood of Lord Chaitanya. He is very soft and gentle with his devotees. He just doesn't carry that fierce aura or presence. He is very sweet, like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is very accessible. Very, very accessible. Anyone, everyone can access Lord Chaitanya. In fact, accessing Krishna is more difficult. But accessing Lord Chaitanya is very difficult, very easy. And Lord Narsingadev is in that mood. Very accessible. You'll see anyone and everyone can stand in front of him, gaze at him without any problem. But actually, if you're standing in front of Lord Narsingadev, you can't gaze at him. What's happening? Very difficult. It's not easy. Even the great demigods were fearful, it's described. If you read 7th canto, only Prahlad Maharaj was not scared. Everyone else was scared, literally scared. They were shivering. But in this Narsingadev, anyone can approach. And more and easier than Lord Chaitanya to approach him is Lord Nityananda. Very, very easy. Very sweet. He always takes us to Lord Chaitanya, who takes us to Radha and Krishna. Therefore, we sing the song, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala. That his feet, Lord Nityananda's feet, are cooling like a million moons. The cooling effect of a million moons. So he is the easiest to approach. Very easy to approach. Even Jagai Madhai were afraid of Lord Chaitanya, but they were not afraid of Lord Nityananda. Of course, Lord Nityananda has some pastimes where he fixes up people. Yes, he's ready to pounce. But it's described that he's very sweet like Lord Chaitanya. He carries that mood of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today is fasting till noon for observance of Vamana's appearance tomorrow. Greg?